mother God on humble me we bend. All senses sing, quiet listening, trusting that your ear suddenly or near, filling me with peace and satisfaction.
Welcome to all to our healing meeting today at prayerfulgathering.com. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The topic of our readings today is who is speaking and to whom are we listening? Beginning in Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Psalms. Give ear to my meditation. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. James. My brethren, be not many masters. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Matthew. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ephesians. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Matthew. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. John. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Proverbs. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it! The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. The Lord heareth the prayer of the righteous. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And now, correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Consistency is seen in example more than in precept. Inconsistency is shown by words without deeds, which are like clouds without rain. If our words fail to express our deeds, God will redeem that weakness, and out of the mouth of babes, he will perfect praise. The night of materiality is far spent, and with the dawn, truth will waken men spiritually to hear and to speak the new tongue. Entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living is the life divine, revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. This understanding casts out error and heals the sick, and with it you can speak as one having authority. Praying with humility, with whatever fervency of expression, does not always mean a desire for it. If we turn away from the poor, we are not ready to receive the reward of him who blesses the poor. We confess to having a very wicked heart and ask that it may be laid bare before us. But do we not already know more of this heart than we are willing to have our neighbors see? We should examine ourselves and learn what is the affection and purpose of the heart. For in this way only can we learn what we honestly are. Jesus mapped out the path for others. He unveiled the Christ, the spiritual idea of divine love. To those buried in the belief of sin and self, living only for pleasure or the gratification of the senses, he said in substance, "Having eyes, ye see not, and having ears, ye hear not, lest ye should understand and be converted, and I might heal you." He taught that the material senses shut out truth and its healing power. Does not science show that sin brings suffering as much today as yesterday? They who sin must suffer. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Right motives give pinions to thought, and strength and freedom to speech and action. Love is priestess at the altar of truth. Wait patiently for divine love to move upon the waters of mortal mind and form the perfect concept. Patience must have her perfect work. The scriptures say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, showing that truth is the actual life of man. But mankind objects to making this teaching practical. Every trial of our faith in God makes us stronger. The more difficult seems the material condition to be overcome by spirit, the stronger should be our faith and the purer our love. Before deciding that the body, matter, is disordered, one should ask, who art thou that repliest to spirit? Can matter speak for itself, or does it hold the issues of life? Why declare that the body is diseased and picture this disease to the mind, rolling it under the tongue as a sweet morsel and holding it before the thought of both physician and patient? Anatomy finds a necessity for nerves to convey the mandate of mind to muscle and so cause action. But what does anatomy say when the cords contract and become immovable? Has mortal mind ceased speaking to them, or has it bidden them to be impotent? Can muscles, bones, blood, and nerves rebel against mind in one instance and not in another, and become cramped despite the mental protest? Unless muscles are self-acting at all times, they are never so, never capable of acting contrary to mental direction. If muscles can cease to act and become rigid of their own preference, be deformed or symmetrical, as they please or as disease directs, they must be self-directing. Why then consult anatomy to learn how mortal mind governs muscles, if we are only to learn from anatomy that muscle is not self-governed? You say, I have burned my finger. This is an exact statement, more exact than you suppose. For mortal mind and not matter burns it. Holy inspiration has created states of mind which have been able to nullify the action of the flames, as in the Bible case of the three young Hebrew captives cast into the Babylonian furnace, while an opposite mental state might produce spontaneous combustion. You say, toil fatigues me. But what is this me? Is it muscle or mind? Which is tired and so speaks? Without mind, could the muscles be tired? Do the muscles talk, or do you talk for them? Matter is non-intelligent. Mortal mind does the false talking, and that which affirms weariness made that weariness. You do not say a wheel is fatigued, and yet the body is as material as the wheel. If it were not for what the human mind says of the body, like the inanimate wheel, would never be weary. Blot out the images of mortal thought and its beliefs in sickness and sin. Banish the belief that you can possibly entertain a single intruding pain which cannot be ruled out by the might of mind. And in this way, you can prevent the development of pain in the body. No law of God hinders this result. You say a boil is painful, but that is impossible, for a matter without mind is not painful. The boil simply manifests through inflammation and swelling a belief in pain. And this belief is called a boil. You say, I dreamed last night. What a mistake is that? The eye is spirit. God never slumbers, and his likeness never dreams. Be no more willing to suffer the illusion that you are sick or that some disease is developing in the system than you are to yield to a sinful temptation on the ground that sin has its necessities. When infringing some supposed law, you say that there is danger. This fear is the danger and induces the physical effects. We cannot in reality suffer from breaking anything except a moral or spiritual law. You say that you have not slept well or have overeaten. You are a law unto yourself. Saying this and believing it, you will suffer in proportion to your belief and fear. Your sufferings are not the penalty for having broken a law of matter, for it is a law of mortal mind which you have disobeyed. Hatred and its effects on the body are removed by love. Because mortal mind seems to be conscious, the sick say, "How can my mind cause a disease I never thought of and knew nothing about until it appeared on my body?" The author has answered this question in her explanation of disease as originating in human belief before it is consciously apparent on the body, which is, in fact, the objective state of mortal mind, though it is called matter. This mortal blindness and its sharp consequences show our need of divine metaphysics. Through immortal mind or truth, we can destroy all ills which proceed from mortal mind. When the first symptoms of disease appear, dispute the testimony of the material senses with divine science. Suffer no claim of sin or of sickness to grow upon the thought. Dismiss it with an abiding conviction that it is illegitimate, because you know that God is no more the author of sickness than he is of sin. You have no law of his to support the necessity either of sin or sickness, but you have divine authority for denying that necessity and healing the sick. The moral and spiritual facts of health, whispered into thought, produce very direct and marked effects on the body. The elucidation of Christian science lies in its spiritual sense, and this sense must be gained by its disciples in order to grasp the meaning of this science. Out of this condition grew the prophecy concerning the Christian apostles. They shall speak with new tongues. Like the great exemplar, the healer should speak to disease as one having authority over it, leaving soul to master the false evidences of the corporeal senses and to assert its claims over mortality and disease. The great fact that God lovingly governs all, never punishing aught but sin, is your standpoint from which to advance and destroy the human fear of sickness. Christian science awakens the sinner, reclaims the infidel, and raises from the couch of pain the helpless invalid. It speaks to the dumb the words of truth, and they answer with rejoicing. In the walk to Emmaus, Jesus was known to his friends by the words which made their hearts burn within them, and by the breaking of bread. The divine spirit which identified Jesus thus centuries ago has spoken through the inspired word and will speak through it in every age and clime. It is revealed to the receptive heart and is again seen casting out evil and healing the sick. This concludes the healing message of our readings and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting. Now, we'll share the meditation and prayer portion of the meeting by listening to this song titled, In This Very Room.
Quite enough love for all of us, and in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all of us, and there's quite enough hope, and quite enough power for faith.
Let's all pray together now in silence for a few moments, and then join together praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. And together, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thine is the kingdom, power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.